Merciful God, our Father, we thank you and we praise you for the privilege of prayer. We thank you that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and call out unto you and know that you will incline your ear and know that you will hear our prayer and know that you'll move on our behalf because we are your children and you are our God. And because you are our God, there's nothing that is beyond you, nothing that you cannot do, nothing that you cannot fix. And so we place ourselves, our children, our families, our situation, all into your hands, but we know no better hands in which to commit them to. We ask, Father God, that you would bless each and every member of New Beginning Christian Fellowship Church, each and every soul that is under the sound of my voice. Lord, bless them, bless their homes, bless their families, keep them safe from all hurt, harm, or danger. Certainly, Father God, in this season of COVID-19 and all the other things that are going on in the world, Father God, we ask for your hand of protection to be about and touch each and every single one of us. We pray right now, Father God, that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive that which you have for us this day. That we would not just be hearers of the word, but we would be doers as well. And then my personal prayer is, Lord, is that you would decrease me and that you would increase your Holy Spirit, that you would think with my mind and speak with my mouth. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Hide me behind the cross. Let your words go forth and let them come forth with clarity and with power, that all those who hear them will know the truth of the word of the God. Now, these and all other things, we do ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name. We all do say, amen. Amen. Turn with me, if you will. We won't be going far from where we traveled last week. We are still going to be in the gospel according to John, chapter 10. We're going to cover verses 11 through 18, as we have been doing throughout the last 2 months. Is that we've been walking through the I am statements that Jesus has made. We have talked about Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. And then we touched on the fact that he says that I am the light of the world. And then last week we talked about him being the door. I am the door. And then now today we're going to cover I am the good shepherd. And we find that again in John chapter 10, verse 11 through 18. If you don't have your Bibles with you or some type of a device that will give you Bible verses, Sister Phyllis, as she always does, and certainly Sister Benjamin as well, have put up those verses for you in so that you might read them if you are online with us or on Zoom with us. For those of you who have called in, I'm talking long enough for you to get to your Bible and open it up. Also, I noticed this morning as well that we were prepping to come on, I noticed that we had gone through last week's Bible study, not Bible study, last week's sermon. And I saw that and I was very pleased with it. And that's something that we probably want to continue on. But my friends on Facebook, the only way that you'll be able to see that is if you meet us on our Zoom channel, and we'll give you that information a little bit later. All right, I've given you more than enough time to get to the gospel according to John chapter 10 and verses 11 through 18, and they read on this wise. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice. They will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life so that I may take it up again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, and doing of his holy word. We've already prayed, and so I'm just going to go directly in to the sermon. And so while I was studying these verses and I'm looking for something that would kind of carry the idea of what it is that John is trying to get across to us. This is the second of two sayings that he has put together, one right behind the other. He has talked about the door, and certainly last week we saw where Jesus is an access door. He allows us access to the Father, where Jesus is a pantry door. And we talked about him being that pantry door, where a pantry is where provisions can be found, where provision is made. And then finally, we talked about him being the door, a security door, him keeping us safe from all hurt, harm, and danger. But here in this sense, Jesus now talks about him being the shepherd. And so for today's sermon, the title, I've titled it in its very simple title, I Am the Good Shepherd. I am the Good Shepherd. There is a story that's told about a young man, now not even a young man, a young boy, and where he's young enough where he really wants to go to a friend's birthday party. And he's excited about going to this party. He wants to go to this friend's party. He's looking forward to it days on end. And so on the day that the party is supposed to be given, there is this blizzard that happens where he lives. There's a blizzard. And this is one of the blizzards where you can barely see. The snow is falling heavily. It's cold out. And so the father turns to the boy and tells the boy, you know what? I'm not going to let you go out in this weather to go to your friend's birthday party. And you could see that the boy was heartbroken. And the boy turned to his father and he began to beg his father, please, daddy, please let me go to this birthday party. I really want to go to this birthday party. I've been looking forward to going to this birthday party. Please, please, please let me go. And so after a few moments, to the boy's surprise, the father says, okay, I'll let you go. And so the boy, filled with joy, puts on his coat, went on his biggest winter heavy coat he can find. He gets his gets his gloves, put on his snowshoes, right? And so puts on his hat. And so he walks out the door and makes the trek to the friend's house. Now, the friend's house is not super far, but it's far enough. And so he finally makes his way to his friend's house. And so as he turns and looks over his shoulder, he sees that his father has been following him all this time as he's been walking through the snow. And the father turns and goes back to the house. And once the young boy makes his way safely into the house. And this is the point that I think that the author, John, wants to make with us, is that you're never alone. That even though you might think you're alone, even though you are on your merry way, there is someone by the name of God the Father who is always watching you to make sure that you make it safely to where it is that you're going. And this is the point that I think that John tries to get out to us, is that, and matter of fact, this is what we call our take-home point, is that if you miss everything else, that if you get this, you've got the sermon. And this is the point that I want you to leave with, that because the Good Shepherd's love for us, he never leaves us out, nor does he leave us alone. Because of the Good Shepherd's love for us, he never leaves us out, nor does he leave us alone. And so, if I haven't lost you already, the Good Shepherd, this is our first point, the Good Shepherd never leaves you. The Good Shepherd never leaves you. I'm not making this up. It's here in the text. Matter of fact, he says in verse 11, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. But then, as John also does, and oftentimes does, he will bring about a contrast. And in this particular verse, the contrast is one of a hired hand. The hired hand, he says, is not the shepherd. He's not the owner of the sheep. Matter of fact, he don't care nothing about the sheep. And we know the difference between the hired hand and the shepherd because of what the shepherd does and what the hired hand won't do. You see, the good shepherd will never leave you because he's willing to do that which no one else or very few others will do for you. Yes, there are some who may come to your aid when you are in need of help, but those are far and few in between. Yes, there may be someone somewhere who might be willing to even die for you, but because the good shepherd loves you, the good shepherd has said that he's willing to lay down his life for the sheep. The distinction between the hired hand and the good shepherd are the actions that one, the shepherd is willing to take on behalf of the sheep. The good shepherd leads the sheep. The good shepherd makes sure that the sheep get fed. The good shepherd makes sure that they are tended to. If they're hurt, if they're wounded, if they're lost, he goes out and he finds lost sheep. He makes sure that hurt sheep get healed. He is the good shepherd. And then the good shepherd will also protect the sheep. A good shepherd leads the sheep. He makes sure that the sheep get fed. He makes sure that the sheep are tended. He makes sure that they are, in addition to being tended, feeding, and being led, he makes sure that the sheep are protected. And as I covered it once before, these are the responsibilities even of a good pastor. But John gives us this contrast of the hired hand. He says the hired hand is not the owner of the sheep. See, the shepherd has claimed ownership of the sheep. He loves those sheep. The hired hand is simply that. He's a hired hand. He's there for the money. He's there for the acclaim. He's there for the presence, those things that come along with it. That's what he is there for. The hired hand takes off when there is trouble. He only cares about himself. In times of trouble and in times of distress, the shepherd will step up. He has not only his staff, but he also has a rod. So that way he can protect the sheep when the wolf may appear. In this case, when the wolf has appeared, we see where the hired hand will only protect himself. He'll run on and leave the sheep to the tender mercies of the wolf. And believe you me, the wolf has no tender mercies. The wolf has come just like the thief to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But here we find that the good shepherd will save the sheep, even though it may cost him his very life. I've come by to let you know that the good shepherd will never leave you, even though you face an enemy that you yourself cannot defeat. He'll never leave you alone, and he will keep you when you cannot keep yourself. The good shepherd never leaves you, but then the good shepherd never forsakes you. That's your second point. The good shepherd will never forsake you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Here in verses 14, 15, and 16, Jesus again says, I am the good shepherd. And Jesus says this twice, but there's another saying that Jesus says almost some five times. And the saying is this. He says in verse 15, I lay down my life for the sheep. He says that he knows the sheep, he loves the sheep, and the sheep know him just as well as he knows them. He says, I am willing to lay my life down for the sheep. But not only that, but then he lets us know and lets the Pharisees who are present know as well that he has sheep of another pasture. And those other sheep, I'm glad to say that I'm one. You know, all his sheep don't look the same. You know, all the sheep, when we think about sheep, sometimes we only think about the white sheep. But then, you know, there is such a thing as a black sheep. And then, you know, the truth of the matter is that he loved the black sheep just as much as he loved the white sheep. But then not only does he love the black sheep and the white sheep, but then he loves the Indian sheep. He loves wherever you come from sheep. As long as those who what? Believe in their heart and confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus Christ you shall be saved. Once you become saved, you become one of his sheep. It's these sheep that are ones that he knows, he loves, he keeps, and he has already died for. When Jesus was speaking these things to the Pharisees, he had yet to die upon the cross. So for him to say that he's willing to die for the sheep tells us that even at this time, while he is conducting his earthly ministry, it was always his intention to go to the cross and die upon the cross, but then to rise up again in 3 days' time so that he might redeem the sheep. We are that sheep that he knows, and he says he knows his sheep and he knows us by our name. How is that? Because he has developed a relationship with us. The moment you believe, you become imputed with righteousness. And because you become imputed with righteousness, you can stand before God. Not because you're all that good, not because you've been all that great, but because of the work, the finished work that the good shepherd had done upon the cross. That way you can now stand before God the Father as one of his sheep. And he knows his sheep and he knows them by name. Why? Because Jesus Christ has a relationship with each and every believer, each and every soul who knows him in the pardon of their sins. They have a relationship with him. But that relationship works both ways. He knows us, but we ought to be about the business of knowing him. How is it that we know him? Well, like any good relationship, you know, you got to go through some things with people that you're in a relationship with. I love Miss Evans. I love Miss Evans with all my I tell her all the time, with all my stinking heart, with all my heart. I love that woman more today than I did when I met her. And that's because we've been through some things together. We've been through some good times and we've been through some bad times. We've been through some times when did not know where a check was going to come from. We've been through some times where in a Christmases or so, where we just didn't have no money for no gifts. And so we ended up writing IOUs to our kids. But you know, praise be unto God. God kept us through all that. We've never missed a meal. We haven't gone without. I mean, we've gone without, but we've never gone without to the point where we had no hope. I pity the man who cannot look towards God and receive hope. Because if you got hope, you got help. And if your help is in Jesus, then you got more than hope. You not only do you have hope and help, you got faith. And if you got hope, help, and faith, then you're going to make it through. And that's all that I've came by to let you know, is that you got to struggle some with God to have a relationship with him. You got to go through some things with God to have a relationship with him. Everything is not going to be sunny and bright. There's going to be some rainy days. There's going to be some times when some tears are going to fall from your face. And there's going to be some times where you're going to need help and you don't know where your help is going to come from if it don't come from the Lord. And praise be unto God. He'll never give you more than you can bear. I love him because he first loved me. He's never forsaken me. He's never left me, because he's always made sure that I've had pasture to feed in. He's always led me and guided me, even though I didn't know where I was headed. God made it so that I would have a decent job, where I would be able to take care of my family, where I would be able to make sure that they were sheltered, that I would be able to make sure that we had a future and a hope. And I praise God that he has been my hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. We all become one flock. And because we are all one flock, sometimes the face of God you might not see per se, but you see the face of God when you come and you gather together. Because oftentimes when you gather together, and especially when you have the opportunity to come to church, even now in a setting like this, you are in the presence of the saints. We all care about one another. We all are reaching out to one another. Yes, this is during the time of COVID-19, and yes, it is safer to be at home, but you know what? The wonderful thing about God is that he always makes a way. And because he's made a way, I can come to you through Zoom and give you this word of God. Because of the telephone system, you can reach out and call other folks. Matter of fact, just like Zoom, you can get on, and there's a thing called FaceTime. And you can, if you're missing the face of somebody, FaceTime them if they have a phone just like your phone. If you can FaceTime them and talk face to face. Matter of fact, please, ma'am, please, sir, and take advantage of the technology that is present. I think God has allowed this season so that we might stretch ourselves, so that we might grow in areas that we didn't want to grow in before. But now he's made it so that we got to learn how to work your phone, that you got to learn how to work your computer, that you got to learn how to do some things that you wouldn't want to do before, so that you can continue to have what? The fellowship of the saints. Because it's in the fellowship of the saints that I realize that what God has done for you, he can do for me. That's the reason why we have testimonial service. That's the reason why we encourage one another with the word of God, because if we hear that God was able to do this for Abraham, if he was able to do this for Isaac, if he was able to do this for Peter, Paul, and John, if we realize that God is able to do all these things for others, certainly God is willing to do that for us. Why? Because we are the sheep of his pasture. And the good shepherd has said, he'll never leave us, he'll never forsake us. But then the good shepherd also says he loves the Father. The good shepherd says he loves the Father. And he says this for this reason: the Father loves him. The Father loves me because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down of my own initiative. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. It's because the good shepherd's love for the Father and the Father's love for the sheep that the good shepherd also loves the sheep. The good shepherd loves the sheep because he loves the Father, and because he loves the Father, he loves the sheep. Everything that the Father loves, the Son loves too. Everything that the Father is concerned about, the Son is concerned about as well. Why? Because he loves the Father. For this reason, the Father loves the Good Shepherd. And we know here that love evokes love. In other words, love will bring about the love in others. If you love on some folk at some point in time, that love will be reciprocated. People may look down on you at the time, but they may remember the time that when they need some help. You know what? I know that Deacon Williams is a Christian, and I need some help. I've never prayed to God in such a way that I'm sure that he'll hear me, but I know that if I reach out to my friend Robert Williams, he will pray for me, and that God will hear him, and God will move on my behalf. Maybe I reach out to my friend Richard Lawson. I know he'll pray for me. I know he will. Maybe I'll reach out to my friend Amanda Johnson. I know she pray, and if anybody can get a prayer to God, she will. All that love that you have expressed all the time that you were at your job, all that love that you had, those kindnesses that you have done to people who were maybe your neighbor next door, but were not really your neighbor, the individuals that have the party late into night and that keep you up all night, but yet and still, all you do is love on them. Love will evoke love. And it is because of the love That light that we so shine. You know, we talk about that little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine. Well, that same little light is not hidden, but it sits on a hill. And just when you tell folk you're a Christian, all of a sudden, all eyes are on you, as it should be. Because it is through the word of God that sin's sick souls might be saved. And you might be the only Bible that some people ever see. You might be upset with your neighbor, but love on your neighbor. You might be upset with your coworker, but love on your coworker. You might be upset with those who may say detrimental things about you, but love on them, because love will evoke love in such a way that God the Father sent God the Son to die for us, not because we were all that great, not because we were all that wonderful, not because we even deserved it, but because he loved us. Simply because he loved us. Jesus says, I voluntarily lay down my life. I put down my life. And he uses the word authority, which is really the word power. But here, the word has been transliterated as authority. And of course, I'm reading from the New American Standard Version. But here, authority in this sense means that I have the right to. I can do it. Not only do I possess the power, but I have the right to do it as well. He says, I have the right to die for you. Nothing says that Jesus had to, but because Jesus loves the Father, and because he loves the same things that the Father loves, he loves us as well. And because he loves us as well, he lays down his life. And then he says, not only do I have the power to lay down my life, I have the power to bring my life back. Because those who needed a mediator needed Jesus. For those who needed to be reconciled unto God the Father, I got to do that for them. See, it's a battle that you could not handle on your own. You could not keep the law. You could not keep all 633 laws. You couldn't even keep the 10 commandments, much less the rest. But Jesus had to come. Messiah had to come so that he might save us from our sins. And because he has come, he has already laid down his life. He will not lay it down again. He has already laid it down at Calvary. And at Calvary, he took upon our sins because we could not bear the cost of it. He took on the wrath of God for all that which should have fell upon us, fell upon him. And it fell upon him because he was the only one, as the fellas like to say in the street, he was the only one who could take the hit. You couldn't handle it. Only God could handle it. So God sends God to handle that which we could not handle ourselves. God sends God to redeem us to himself because he loves us that much. Not because of anything that we can do for him. Not because of anything that we owe him. But because he loves us. I'm going to say this and then I'm going to take my seat. Sometimes we do things for folk and you want something back. But sometimes we do stuff for folk simply because we love them. I remember one time I was in the store and my kids asked me for some toy. And I didn't rightly have, well, I had the money for it, but I didn't really want to spend it. But just like the father in the story that we began with, they begged and they pleaded, and so I got it. But I didn't get it because they were worthy of it. Didn't get it because they was all that good. But I got it because I love them. And that's all I want to tell you today, is that Jesus dies upon a cross, not because we all that good, not because we deserve it, not because we're all that great, simply because he loves us. And because he loves us, he takes all the sins of the world upon himself at Calvary's cross. He dies for our sins. He's placed in a borrowed tomb. He stays there 3 whole days. And at the end of the 3 days, he rises up to sit on the right hand of the Father. Jesus had to come, not so much for the miracles that he did, but he did them so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. But he did them so that he might die upon the cross. Because only by his death, only by his burial, only by his resurrection, that we can receive eternal life. Jesus makes the point that he dies for the sheep. Jesus has already died for the sheep. Jesus has already risen from the grave. My plea to you this morning is accept the gift that he's already given. I simply ask that you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that you shall be saved. Pray this prayer with me, if you will. Father God, I am a sinner and I need to be saved. Holy Spirit, come into my heart and make me the kind of Christian that you would have me to be. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you said that prayer with me, the Bible says that you are saved. There's nothing more that you must do. Simply have believed in your heart and confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you are saved. But I would ask you to do one more thing. Even though God knows, even though the angels in heaven know, because the Bible says that they rejoice every time a soul receives Christ. I don't know. And we, the members of New Beginning Christian Fellowship, don't know either. But we would love to rejoice with you. And so we ask that behind my head is our address, but right below our address is also our website, which is nbcfc.org. You can, please, ma'am, please, sir, be kind enough, go to that website, leave a message. We'll be quick and careful to get back to you. Certainly, you can watch us on Facebook. If you're watching us on Facebook, leave a comment. Please allow me the opportunity to dialogue with you. If you've made a decision for Christ, certainly I'd love to have the opportunity to speak with you about the decision that you've made. And believe you me, it is one of the most important and best decisions that you'll ever make. Now, as we get ready to close out our sermon here, I just simply ask on one other thing, that if you find that this has been a blessing to you, please, ma'am, please, sir, at that website, there's an opportunity that you might be able to give unto us. And so we ask certainly for your donation, no matter what size it is. Just if nothing else, just give us a little something so we might know that you're there. So with that being said, may God bless you and keep you. Let us go to him in prayer. Father God, we come to you now in prayer. We thank you and we praise you for this time and opportunity that we've had to share the word of God with those who've come with us online. We ask that it would have that it would be profitable for them, that it will be a blessing to them, that they would have received something, Father God, that will have enriched their lives. Our prayer is certainly for those who are unsaved, that they might know you in the pardon of their sins. Now, these and all other things, we do ask and pray in Jesus' mighty name. We all do say, amen.